The following is a lecture on Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 6, Text 16, given by His Holiness Gopala Krishna Goswami Maharaj, recorded on 7th of February, 1997.
Gopi jana bala bhala dhari Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 6, Text 16 Vidvana pitam danuja kutumbam Pushna salokayana kalpatevai Yahatriya parakya vibhinna bhavas Tama prapadyeta yatha vimura Translation O my friends, sons of demons, in this material world, even those who are apparently advanced in education have the propensity to consider, this is mine and that is for others. Thus they are always engaged in providing the necessities of life to their families in a limited conception of family life, just like uneducated cats and dogs. They are unable to take to spiritual knowledge. Instead, they are bewildered and overcome by ignorance. Purport by Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. In human society, there are attempts to educate the human being. But for animal society, there is no such system, nor are animals able to be educated. Therefore, animals and unintelligent men are called vimura, or ignorant, bewildered, whereas an educated person is called vidwan. The real vidwan is one who tries to understand his own position within the material world. For example, when Sanatana Goswami submitted to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his first question was, Kiyami Kenya Maya Jara Tapatra. In other words, he wanted to know his constitutional position and why he was suffering from the threefold miseries of material existence. This is the process of education. What is the use of his education? As discussed in the previous verse, a living being is entrapped by his fruitive activities exactly like a silkworm trapped in its own cocoon. Foolish persons are generally engaged by the fruit of actions, karma, because of a strong desire to enjoy this material world. Such attracted persons become involved in society, community, and nation, and waste their time, not having profited from having obtained human form. Especially in this age, Kali Yuga, great leaders, politicians, philosophers, and scientists are all engaged in foolish activities thinking, this is mine and this is yours. The scientists invent nuclear weapons and collaborate with the big leaders to protect the interests of their own nation or society. In this verse, however, it is clearly stated that despite their so-called advanced knowledge, they actually have the same mentality as cats and dogs. As cats, dogs, and other animals, not knowing their true interest in life, become increasingly involved in ignorance. The so-called educated person who does not know his own self-interest or the true goal of life becomes increasingly involved in materialism. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj advises everyone to follow the principles of Varnashram Dharma. Especially at a certain point, one must give up family life and take to the renounced order of life to cultivate spiritual knowledge and thus become liberated. This is further discussed in the following verses. Om Gyan Simran Dasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshuran Militan Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobestam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Laguna Tanvitam Tam Sajevam Sadvetam Savadhutam Prajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Sha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Vidvan apitam danuja kutumbam, pushna salokaya na kalpate vai, yaha sviya parakya bhinna bhavas, tama prapadyeta yitha vimuda. Now continuing to listen to the nectarian instruction of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj had the great fortune of receiving these instructions or understanding the goal of life when he was in the womb of his mother. Most of us don't have that fortune and we don't have that ability. But Prahlad Maharaj had the great fortune of hearing transcendental wisdom from Narada Muni when he was in the womb of his mother. Prahlad's father had gone to perform great austerities and the demigods were already greatly troubled by Hiranyakashipu. So when they had the opportunity, they kidnapped Prahlad's mother when Prahlad was in the womb. And their fear was that the son would be exactly like the father. As they say, like father, like son. So they were keeping Prahlad's mother in custody. And the plan was that as soon as the child would be born, they would kill the child. However, Narada Muni appeared on the scene. And Narada Muni assured the demigods headed by Indra that the child in the womb is not going to be a demon. The child in the womb is going to be a great sage. He's sinless. You should have no fear of him. So the demigods at once released Prahlad's mother, who was then given protection by the great sage Narada Muni. Then someone may question, why did Narada Muni great give shelter to a woman? You know, the scriptures give us injunction that you aren't even supposed to sit with a woman alone, even if it's your own mother, own sister, I'm sorry. And here we have Narada Muni giving shelter to a lady, to a pregnant lady. So Prabhupada discusses this point. And Prabhupada says that we should not compare ourselves to Narada Muni's exalted status. And Prabhupada gives the example of Haridas Thakur, how a prostitute has arrived at his hut in the middle of night with the goal of trying to seduce him. But Haridas did not get affected by the prostitute, rather by his pure poor chanting. The prostitute got purified to become an exalted devotee. So, the point we're making is that we can't compare ourselves to exalted personalities like Narada Muni and Haridas Thakur. So, Prahlad was able to retain the instructions that he had received from Narada Muni, whereas his mother gradually forgot. So, Prahlad over here is pointing out that in this material world, even those who may have this so-called material education have the concept of this is mine and this is for others. In other words, one who is on the bodily platform of life is actually selfish. is a selfish animal. And everyone has, one who's in the bodily concept of life, has a false sense of proprietorship. Ramaji, when he created this material world, he created certain aspects of nest science, and he also created certain aspects of knowledge. And one of the aspects of nest science that were created by Brahmaji is this false sense of proprietorship. Everyone on the bodily platform of life is suffering from this false sense of proprietorship. This is mine, this is yours. It begins with the individual, extends to the family, further extends to the community, further extends to the nation, and then a group of nations and so on. For example, you know, people in India, in other parts of the world, there's a big war now to control population growth. Why? They say the earth can only support, our country can only support X number. Now we can't have too many people live. Of course, if you want to control population, wonderful. Then the spiritual process is abstaining from sex life. However, the demons, because they have very little understanding or desire to understand the laws of God, they promote sinful activities like abortion. Like even if you go to any major city in India or any city in India, you see big posters, billboards encouraging people to go for abortion. They even get subsidized. They even get leave with full pay if you're going for abortion. If you want to go to a religious ceremony, then you get leave with no pay. And if you want to go for a sinful activity as abortion, then you get leave with full pay from government service. So, they're promoting all this, but actually by God's law, there is enough food grain for the whole world. By God's law, this earth can provide unlimited food. This earth can provide enough food to feed double or triple the population. There are such vast tracts of land all over the world which are completely unutilized. But because people are operating on this concept of this is mine and this is yours, therefore they will not share their wealth with everyone. The Sri Upanishad says, Isha Vashaidan Sarvam Yat Kincha Jagatyanjaga Tena Taktena Bhunjita Madhidahaka Sasvidhanam. One should only pay as much as he needs and not beyond that. But to come to that understanding, you need spiritual awareness, spiritual understanding of the laws of God. As long as you're on the bodily platform, this principle of mine and thine will continue. And there will be so many wars, so much crime, etc. Prabhupada is to give the example of the United Nations, a society that was formed with the purpose of trying to achieve peace on the planet. But the United Nations has totally failed in bringing peace on the planet because they operate on the principle of, oh, this is your border, this is their border. And because it is on the bodily platform, we still see that so many wars are going on. So Brahmaji created this concept of false sense of proprietorship. This principle of mine, this is yours, is there because we have this false sense of proprietorship that this is mine. But actually nothing is ours. The spiritualist understands that everything comes from God, everything belongs to God, hence God is the supreme enjoyer. And when I serve the senses of the Lord, I will automatically be satisfied. So besides this concept of false sense of proprietorship, the other aspect of nest science, which Brahmaji created, were the principle of self-deception. Then the fear of death, principle of self-deception is there because of intense bodily attachment. And when you are attached to the body, then there is this great fear of death. Like on the material platform, nobody wants to die because of many reasons. One is they don't want to give up their sense gratification, they want to hold on to it as long as they want. Second is the uncertainty of what happens after death. So there is this fear of death and anger after frustration. When do people get angry? They get angry when they can't get their different material desires satisfied. And then, of course, there's a false sense of propriety. In the previous verses, Prahlad Maharaj has been dwelling on one theme. And that theme is, do not misuse this human form of life. Beginning with the opening verse of this chapter, the famous verse, Kamara Achat Pragya Dharma Bhagavatamya Dullava Manam Sam Janma Tadapi Adhruva Marthadam. Very famous verse. Prahlad Maharaj is focusing on one point. That is, after millions of births and deaths, rather, one should utilize this human form of life for higher purpose, that is for self-realization. So those who may have even the so-called material education, they may pride themselves as very learned in society, but actually they know better than cats and dogs. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explained that there are four categories of miscreants who do not try to understand me or who do not understand me. What are they? Dharmam duskritana mura prapadeyanta naradama mayaya partha jnana ashram bhavan ashridaha. So he says, those are very mayaya partha jnana, those are very proud of their mundane knowledge, learning, etc. They have fancy degrees attached to their names. Like in India, you see, people, when they publish their visiting cards and all, they always publish a degree. If they have degrees, they always publish the degrees next to it. So they want to claim, they want to advertise that I'm so learned. But they may be so learned, but what's the use of this mundane learning? That's exactly what Prahlad Maharaj is saying. That these people may be apparently educated. Apparently they may have these so-called degrees, etc. But as even if they have these so-called degrees, they're still on the bodily concept of life, identifying certain possession to be theirs and certain possession to be belonging to somebody else. Still, God is out of the picture. So, those who are very proud of their mundane learning, they do not accept the words of God and interpret the words of God, but they don't accept the position of God as the supreme proprietor. Just like in those famous conversations between Srila Prabhupada and Dr. Katosky, when Srila Prabhupada went to the former Soviet Union in 1972, Prabhupada was explaining to them the concept of spiritual communism. Prabhupada was explaining to them how this concept of communism as everything belonging to the state is not going to succeed. And Prabhupada proved to be right. We saw that communism, which goes on the principle that nothing is yours, everything belongs to the state, failed because God was kept out of the picture. So this principle, this is mine, this is yours, is a result of strong bodily identification. Srimad Bhagavatam in the second canto states, Svavidvara hosa khare samstutha purusha pashu nayat karna patopeto jatu nama gadagrajaha. That those who are like dogs, hogs, camels and asses are busy glorifying others who have no attraction to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we can see how strong the Bhagavatam is. The Bhagavatam doesn't spare any words in describing the gross materialists who are very attached to the bodily concept of life, the false sense of proprietorship. You may have this false sense of proprietorship, but how long are you going to be able to hold on to it? Even if, let's say, if you have wealth, the Bhagavatam explains that when you have wealth, you make so many enemies. A rich man has unlimited enemies. The government becomes his enemy. The government says, hey, you made this wealth because of us. We're running the country so smoothly, so give us your taxation. We want 80% tax. And in many countries of the world, besides wealth tax, besides income tax, they have what they call a death tax. In India, they have a death tax. So when you die, let's say leaving 1 crore in the bank, then the government says, oh, now you're dead. So we must tax your dead body. Okay, 80% tax. So there's death tax also. I don't know if the Western countries have it, but India certainly has it. So anyway, the government always thinks how we should plunder your money. Then when the government fails to plunder, the thieves are also keeping an eye on you, isn't it? The thieves don't spy on the poor people, do they? They spy on the movements of the rich people. Ah, when does this man go to office? When does his children go to school? What route do they take? And then what do? Huh? Kidnap. This is a booming business in India right now. In some states of India like UP, Bihar, it's a very booming business. You kidnap rich people or rich people's children, take them away, demand a huge ransom, and then release them. So the poor man doesn't have to worry. The rich man, therefore you go to a rich man's house, he has such tall boundary walls and dogs and security guards, because he's in anxiety, something's going to happen to me. So the relatives, so the thieves are enemies of the rich people. Huh? You're thinking this is your wealth? Okay. The thieves are thinking this is not your wealth. Share it with us. You don't want to share it with us? Okay, we'll do it by a crookish method. Then the relatives become your enemy. The relatives say, well, you become rich. Come on, why are you forgetting us? We gave you our blessings. So give us the money. So the rich man has so many. One who's claiming proprietorship has so many enemies. And ultimately, if you still manage to save your property from the government, save your property from the tax people, save your property from the thieves, save your property from the crooks, ultimately Krishna comes as death and takes everything away. So ultimately you're not going to be holding on to anything. So one who is in the false concept of life, bodily identification of life, eventually loses everything. And the Bhagavatam explains this point with the help of straightforward philosophy and with the help of very wonderful allegorical stories that make us understand the foolishness of identifying with the body and the foolishness of claiming proprietorship over something that ultimately belongs to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like in the 11th canto, you read the story of Pingala, the prostitute, how she was anxiously waiting for customers all day, how she was hoping to attract people with her makeup, beauty, but ultimately she failed to get a customer and she got disgusted. But that disgust led to detachment, and that detachment led to her depending on the Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrendering everything to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Also in the Bhagavatam you read the story of the foolish pigeon who was very attached to his wife. How the husband would always praise the wife and the wife would praise the husband. How they both thought they were a perfect match for each other. And how one day the husband and wife went to the forest to get some food for the children. And the children had grown up and they were walking out of the nest. You know, everybody gets tired living in the room. So they went for an outing in front of their nest. And as they went for an outing, the cruel hunter that was passing by saw them as idle candidates for his pleasure, and he trapped them in his net. And when the father and mother came back, they saw their loved ones for whom they labored so hard to bring food were right in front of them in the hunter's net, and they could do nothing. And the mother lamenting, she also fell in the hunter's net. And a little later, the father lamenting that he had wasted his valuable life and not glorified the Lord, he also fell in the hunter's net. So there's so many stories like that. She came in the 7th canto, the story. There's so many stories that point out as a single pointed message, which is, do not get artificially attached to this body. Do not get artificially attached to your possessions. Rather, utilize this rare privilege that you have of having a human body to establish a relationship with the Lord. So in the purport of this verse, Prabhupada quotes Chaitanya Sanatana Goswami's dialogue with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabhupada explains that it's not that Sanatana Goswami was bereft of spiritual knowledge. He was fully realized. But that's the nature of a devotee of the Lord. He's always inquiring, just like we see that even Yudhishthira Maharaj asked Bhishmadev about the meaning of human life, the principles of Bhagavad Dharma. We see that Yudhishthira Maharaj is asking Narada Muni questions that will be discussed further in the 7th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Says the nature of a devotee to inquire. But he inquires, just like we see Arjuna constantly inquiring in the Bhagavad Gita from Krishna. But the nature of the inquiry is all for the benefit of entire humanity. So, Sanatana Goswami inquired, as Prabhupada quotes in the purport, Kiyami Kinamaya Jaratapatra. Why am I suffering the threefold miseries of life? Adi Devik, Adi Bodhik, Adi Atmik, Klesha. Klesha. Klesha means misery. So, everyone is suffering these miseries. Mame Vamsa Jiva Loka Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. Krishna explains how all the living entities are suffering, struggling with the mind and the senses. So, the three kleshas that Sanatana Goswami refers to, the disturbance caused by the mind, the disturbance caused by other living entities, and the disturbance caused by material nature. Why do I have to undergo these miseries of life? So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to Sanatana Goswami the importance of devotional service. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Veda Shastra Kait Sambandha Abhidaya Prayojana. That is, the Vedic scriptures explain Sambandha. What should be our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And the Vedic scriptures further explain how that relationship can be established. Abhideya. So they explain Sambandha. Then they explain Abhideya. When you work to establish that relationship, many people may have theoretical knowledge about our relationship with the Lord, but they don't work to apply that knowledge. Just like in India, it's not uncommon to meet a lot of people who may have even the whole Bhagavad Gita memorized. But when you examine their character, it's very different from what the Gita is advocating. So just having theoretical knowledge and not applying the knowledge is not of much value. So Veda Shastra Ke Sambandha Abhidaya Prayojana. We must utilize this knowledge and understanding that the goal of life is developing love of God as Prayojana. So Veda Shastra Ke Sambandha Abhidaya Prayojana. Shri Sanat Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emphasized the importance of focusing on this process of devotional service. And Abhideya Nama Bhakti Prema Prayojana Purushata Shiromani Prema Mahadana. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu further explains Abhideya Nama Bhakti Prema Prayojana. That the topmost wealth, the greatest wealth that one can cultivate, one can accumulate, or one should aspire to have, is this Prema Mahadhana. There's Prema, love of God. This is the highest wealth that one should actually try and cultivate. This Prema Mahadhana. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, Krishna's service and Krishna's love of Krishna, these are the three riches that one should try and possess. In the material world, everybody is after riches. But people do not have a proper understanding of what is the meaning of proper riches. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to Sanatana Goswami that Krishna's seva and love of Krishna. First you must recognize Krishna as the Supreme Personality of God and the cause of all causes, sarva karna karnam, the Supreme Proprietor of everything. Then, understanding that, the Krishna is the proprietor, and once you can come in association with Sadhu Sangha, you begin to execute the prasana of Bhajana Kriya, which also leads to rendering practical service. So Bhajana Kriya and service, just like Prabhupada explains, a sick man to recover, he has to take the medicine and the diet. So we also, in order to recover from this severe disease of sense enjoyment, false sense of proprietorship that we have to take the medicine. That is the spiritual medicine. So when you execute Bhajana Kriya and you do service, then you begin to get purified. And then ultimately you obtain love of Krishna. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's this very wonderful dialogue between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Roy a series of questions, and Ramananda Roy gave the answers. So one of the questions that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had inquired was, who is the greatest capitalist? So in the material world, people have a very false concept and understanding of who is a capitalist. Huh? They think a capitalist is one who has a big bank balance. But Ramananda Roy replied that the real capitalist is one who has love of God, love of Radha and Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also making a similar point. Krishna, Krishna's service and love of Krishna. These are the riches that one should try and develop. These are the riches that we should be hankering for. In mature life, everyone is hankering and lamenting. Hankering for more and more sense enjoyment and lamenting for something which they lose. So our hankering and lamenting should be for a spiritual cause. Our hankering should be to become more and more Krishna conscious. And our lamentation should be when we're not Krishna conscious, when we waste our time in idle talk, when we waste our time in idle activities, etc. Chanakya Pandit has nicely said, Ayusha Kashana Ekopina Labhaya Swarna Koti Bi, that a minute lost cannot be made up with the wealth of the entire world. So that is the devotee's understanding, that a minute lost cannot be made up with the wealth of the entire world. Therefore, the devotee is anxious to engage in devotional service. Now, in the concluding lines of the purport, Prabhupada talks about the importance of Varnashram Dharma, and Prabhupada talks about the importance of giving up one's life at a certain stage. So, one who is on the bodily concept never thinks of giving up his family situation, isn't it? People today hold on to businesses, hold on to positions, hold on to political power till death or a bullet kicks them out. But the Vedic process is that you automatically, at a certain point, recognize that now it's time to get more immersed in spiritual activities. And then you get detached from family responsibilities and focus exclusively on spiritual life. Prabhupada specifically mentioned the word Varnashram Dharma. So, Chatur Varna Maya Shrestham Guna Karma Vibhagasaha. This principle of process of Varnashram is scientific because it is created by Krishna. That's why it is scientific. If it was man-made, then it will be subject to the four inherent defects that every material knowledge has. But because it is coming from Krishna, it is transcendental. And we in Krishna consciousness take shelter of the process of Daiva Varnashram. Because in Varnashram, still there's a concept or there is room or leverage or facility for some type of sense enjoyment. But Daiva Varnashram is a situation where, regardless of whether one is brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, regardless of whether one is a brahman, kshatriya, vaishya, sudra, the focus is Krishna. Krishna's service and love of Krishna. The three riches that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talks about that one should try and develop. And in the Bhagavatam again, you read stories how people were attached, but still by association, they got detached and they left their family situation. Like in the first canto, you read about Dhritarashtra. How even after the battle of Kurukshetra was over, even after all his sons, grandsons had died, that the Rasa was still so attached to a royal position, that when his nephew Yudhishthir offered him a very huge palace to live in, he took full advantage and he was thinking, oh, at last I've become a king. But then Vidura came over there and Vidura enlightened him. He said, you're a fool. You're blind by birth. You're also spiritually blind. The symptoms of old age have already appeared. And you're still living over here attached to this wonderful palace. Get out. Then on Vidura's advice, Dhritarashtra left the comfortable palace that was given to him by Yudhishthir after the battle of Kurukshetra. You also read in the Bhagavatam in the fourth canto about King Prachinabari, how he was so attached to sense enjoyment. But then, by Narada Muni's association, King Prachinabari got so enlightened Daddy, even though his sons were away performing austerities, he instructed his ministers and left home. He didn't even wait for his sons to come back. He left a message for his sons that they should rule and protect the citizens. And he left home to practice self-realization. So this principle of Varnashram is very scientific. The Varnashram, of course, starts with Prahlad Maharaj's first verse of this chapter, Kamara Achar Pragya. That is, you begin to receive spiritual training from a young age, from the age of 5 onwards. And this, now in ISKCON, there's a lot of talk going on, and then this year in the GBC meetings, there's going to be a major topic of discussion. This whole process of Daiva Varnashram and social development, how to establish this so that devotees can progress and at the same time keep their strong Krishna consciousness. So to summarize the verse, we are continuing to hear Prahlad's nectarian instructions. Actually, Dadi's instructions have been given to his demonic schoolmates. They are for all of us. And these instructions are for all of us. And Prahlad Maharaj is pointing out how, if one is on the bodily concept of life, how he identifies with his false sense of proprietorship and he holds on to this body. So our process is to receive spiritual education. Over here the word used is vidwan. So vidwan generally means knowledge. But here vidwan means material knowledge. Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam. This knowledge is the king of education. So real education is that which enables you to understand your transcendental position. And this was also confirmed in the dialogue between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Roy, what is real education? And Ramananda Roy explained. So this is real education, but those who have the so-called material degrees, though they may pretend to be very learned, they are naradhamas, lowest of mankind. They may be president of the country, vice chancellor of a university, but the man doesn't even know what's the basic ABC of spiritual life. So Prahlad Maharaj is lamenting for these gross materialists, and he says they're living just like a cocoon that gets imprisoned in its own by weaving. So similarly, the materialists, they make so many big plans, and they get so trapped in their plans, till the end of life, they're working so hard to try and solve their problems, and there's no time for spiritual life. So the solution is to take to Krishna consciousness, to recognize Krishna as the cause of all causes, the supreme proprietor, the supreme enjoyer, to engage in Krishna's service, and by engaging in the process of bhajana kriya and practical service, one will begin to develop Krishna prema. And these are the riches that devotees are anxious to accumulate. And by executing the process, Krishna guarantees that one will be able to develop these riches. Hare Krishna.